And welcome back, y'all. Welcome back. We're back with another episode of Philly Stats. It's your boy Phil, Kobe. You know, so we here taking care of another week of sports, man. I do want to give a shout out to our fans, our followers, and everything like that. Appreciate y'all listening, you know, to continue to listen, continue to support and share and everything like that. Well, you know, we here for another week of sports. I know we got, you know, so we're gonna start jumping into it. We gotta start with the NFL. You know, we got training camp starting, rookies reporting, veterans reporting. Football season is almost here, man. It's almost here. Obviously, I know we got a couple weeks to the Hall of Fame game. I know they're going to be the big-time stars, but it's football. That's all I'm worried about.
When's the Hall of Fame game?
I was going to be in Canton, Ohio. It's going to be the Jets. The Jets are playing in August 3rd. August 3rd, they're playing Cleveland.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
Right. Yeah, a couple weeks. Yeah, well, a week and a half, really. So. Right around the clock, August 3rd, you know what I'm saying, Hall of Fame game, led into the Hall of Fame. I've been recently talking like Hall of Fame, different resumes are going to the Hall of Fame, and that's the reason why this game is being played, because of the induction of the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame this year?
Let me tell you, I know they changed a lot of the rules and everything like that.
Like, it's a quiet class, I feel like.
Well, because you know they change the rules to where it's like you're only getting like maybe I think like five players at a time now. It's not as many as they used to back in the day.
I mean, that's still cool, but man, you know.
Because before you used to get like maybe like seven, eight guys go in. Now it's like I think the most is five. So it looks like the finalist revealed on it. The finalists look like Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Rondae Barber, Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson is on the finalist list, Albert Lewis, Darrell Revis, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, Marcus Ware, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, Darren Woodson. That's the finalist looking like. And let me make sure I can get the actual total who's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
That should be the finalists, right?
It looks like the nine that were taken were Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, Darrell Revis, Rondae Barber, and then Don Coryell is a coach, Chuck Howley, a defensive lineman, Joe Kelko, and cornerback Ken Riley. Those are looks like the Hall of Fame inductees. Right,
really? I guess. Oh, no, that's lit.
Yeah. So we got, you know, Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, Darrell Revis, and Rondae Barber are your five players that are going into there. There's nine total individuals. You know, they have the coaches, they have the executives, they have like the influence of football. So I know we're gonna start. So reading that list, man, you see Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas, DeMarcus Ware, Darrell Revis, and Rondae Barber. What you thinking of that list, man?
I think you said DeMarcus Ware, right?
Yeah, DeMarcus Ware. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DeMarcus Ware. So he a cowboy. So the Cowboys will be there for him. Revis is a good player, but I feel like he didn't really stay with any teams. I feel like with the Hall of Fame, as far as people going out to the Hall of Fame, I think that normally it's people that's going for their squad, right? But I think Revis is definitely dope. DeMarcus Ware. That's another name you said on there.
Joe Thomas and Zach Thomas.
Yeah, I think it's a cool class. I think it's a cool class.
And Rondae Barber. Let me not forget Rondae Barber as well, too.
Rondae Barber. How long did it take him to get in there?
It took him quite a little while. I know it's been a while since he.
Because he's been kind of retired, right? He's been retired.
Yeah. He's been retired for a while.
He probably been retired for like 10 years.
I would say he retired in 2012.
Okay, no, not that bad,
yeah. Yeah, well, it's almost 15 years, but 13, or, yeah, 13, 12, 13. Really? So, yeah. But I say he's one of the ones that's well deserved. He was in an era where a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, he was in that era where like corners would take away half the field and things like that. I know I've been seeing recently on Twitter, people have been saying Rondae Barber and who was his other guy they've been comparing him to? Rondae Barber, not Rondae Barber, I'm sorry. Darrell Revis versus Asante Samuel. And I'm just like, it's not even close. It's Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis was taking away whole complete sides of the field. Don't get me wrong, Asante Samuel is a beast, but he's known for what a lot of he's done in the postseason interceptions and touchdowns and things like that. But when you talk about like shutdown corner, the very first like modern day shutdown corner, that was Darrell Revis. And Rondae Barber was doing it very quietly over there in Tampa Bay as well, in that Tampa 2 defense as well, too. So
Champ Bailey was pretty good, too. Champ Bailey was
Champ Bailey was good, yeah. Well, I'm just speaking on the people that's going in now. Like, Champ Bailey, I think Champ Bailey would get in into the Hall of Fame as well, so. But, yeah, strictly just going in. I know Zach Thomas, he was a big-time linebacker for the Dolphins, and he was a big staple for the Dolphins defense back in the day with him, Jason Taylor, and all those guys. Then Joe Thomas, man, me playing offensive line. Joe Thomas was that bookend left tackle that played for the Browns. He was there through all the bad times. Didn't miss a game. I think he missed maybe like one game in his entire career. He was a staple of be what a left tackle is. Don't let your quarterback get hurt in the blind side.
Yeah, he cool. He a Brown though, so you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I understand. I understand you and that black and blue division up there in the AFC North. Yeah. But so with that, you know what I'm saying? Hall of Fame class.
Good one. Is there any running backs that's getting inducted?
No, there are no running backs getting inducted. And I don't – the only one running back that's left to get inducted, I think, is Adrian Peterson. But it's interesting that you brought up the running back position.
Yeah, man.
Because you know we have had this offseason some of the top running backs in the league not get their long term deals.
Not getting raises.
Yep, not getting raises.
Yeah.
And the biggest one we know on the docket is definitely Saquon Barkley. Then we also have the leading rusher of the NFL, and Josh Jacobs didn't get a contract extension either. So that's another one, but being on Saquon Barkley, what's your state on running backs right now in the NFL? How you value them? But we know how the league values and a lot of teams value them. What is your value on running backs? But I know I want to get your insight because I know you you went through the same situation with Le'Veon Bell and your team and the Steelers, and you know what I'm saying, having to pay him and what to pay him. But what is your insight on your value of running backs?
Yeah, he just apologized to the Steelers and the Steelers fans. I don't know if you saw that. My evaluation, man. Well, I mean, first, my evaluation really don't even matter because I ain't the one cutting the checks. I can tell you that right now. But my evaluation with it is of the situation, not of the position. I feel like I can do that.
Okay.
They've been putting money in the pass game, not just quarterbacks. Yeah. They've been putting money in the pass game. And I feel like once this is written, like this has been written, everybody has been seeing this. I think that now you're hearing people, it's more making news because now it's in their paychecks, right? But right, basically, you know, it happens in a lot of jobs where you have like a commission restructure where the company realizes that, you know, what your value is not the same based off what we're moving, how we're doing, what our success is. And there's no need for us to pay you that money anymore. Like, there's no reason for them to pay them that. And it's one of those things where it's like, it sucks, but like I said, it's been in that situation. The Heisman, you go into amateur, right? Because I feel like the running back was a real, very great in amateur football because you know it takes a lot of development before you can get a good quarterback. A lot of times, by the time you get a quarterback that can make most of the throws that you can lean on him to lead your team to victory, normally it's in the NFL, right? And some quarterbacks in college, but when you look at it like. Even the Heisman is pretty much who's the best quarterback in college, right? Mm-hmm. The Heisman used to be a running back award. Now I think the last two skill positions outside of the quarterback that has won it in the last 10, 12 years, if I'm not mistaken, is a running back and a wide receiver, and both of them play for Alabama.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Which is the best team which was the best team at the time, right? So it's just the writing's been written. Written on the wall, man. You've been seeing it. I mean, you look at what the Dallas Cowboys in this situation. Let's take it back to 2012 when DeMarco Murray had that great year with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys said, "We're not going to pay you." He goes over to the Tennessee Titans, and what does he do?
Yeah, flops.
He flops. Right? Then they, but who do they draft after him to replace him?
Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Maybe. And what did he do when he was on his rookie contract?
Yeah, he went on if he did his thing, got paid.
His prime Zeke was on a rookie contract, right? And then whenever he got his actual contract, what did he do after that?
Yeah, he started to digress. He was digressing.
Right? So if you look at the Cowboys, like, well, it just makes sense that we draft a running back. If they have success, they're going to have success. Their best success within their first couple of years was going to be their rookie contract. Mm-hmm. If we want them to, keep them a little bit longer, let's do the franchise tag. If not, we can ship them off. We can let them go to somebody else. We can draft his replacement. And then we'll see how that works out. Because really and truly, when you look back at it, the Cowboys didn't have to pay Zeke either.
No, they didn't.
He's the last one that got that big contract. But when you think about it, if they cut ways with Zeke, whenever he was in Cabo doing wind sprints, whatever the case may be, it was drafted another running back. And I can say that a running back by committee, I mean, hell, Tony Pollard kind of can do what Zeke did those years. And then he's already still on the roster. You know what I mean? So it's one of those situations where, like, the writing's been on the wall. It's just the way the rules are in the game. It's a pass-heavy league. So if you're a pass-heavy league, the people that are going to get paid are the quarterback, the receivers, and the defensive linemen that are out to get the quarterback. I mean, hell, you're starting to see cornerbacks kind of get some bags. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Look at Jalen Ramsey, right? You're starting to see cornerbacks get the bag. So it's all about the passing game in the NFL. So just like in the basketball, I think it switched up to, you have to be able to shoot. You know what I mean? We're not about to sit there and pay you no money because you're good at defense and you're good at setting screens and we know that we can count on you to hustle. Man, can you shoot too?
Yeah, that's definitely a good outlook. Good outlook for sure. Way to look at it. I know what you're saying. Everything you're saying was very valid. I know with the running back position, definitely it's always been strike early. Like the running backs are mainly good when they're in their primes, like you said, in their first part of their career, their rookie contract. And it's just like the same, like most running backs, when they hit 30, like that been before, it was like when they hit 30, 29, 30, that's when we're like, I don't know. And most running backs are coming in the league, maybe 23, 24. So if they play 4 years, you're at 28. If you're a first rounder, you get a fifth year, maybe 29, that's when you're pretty much done. And with that, I know, like you say, with the passing game, that is spot on. If you can't do the likes of Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, things like that, you're definitely not going to get the bag as a running back, especially since you've seen likes like Todd Gurley, what happened to him when he got paid, arthritis in his knees, he stuck, fell out the league pretty fast. Like you said, Zeke got his money, and he digressed every single year since then. Like even with Dalvin Cook, who's a free agent now, he's had four straight 1,000-yard seasons. But the Minnesota Vikings are like, hey, we're trying to cut money. We're trying to save money because we have to, like you said, when she was getting bad, they're going to have to pay Justin Jefferson soon. So they cut that, and they were willing to spend time because they have a guy behind them who they paid, but he showed he's productive, and he's a lot cheaper than $15 million a year, which is what the running back position is getting devalued. And I also want to kind of zoom in on Saquon's situation. With Saquon Barkley, he may not have the volume of receptions as the Kamaras, the McCaffreys, and things like that, but he is probably about 45% of the Giants' offense. And what made Daniel Jones progress very well is because he had 26. And I know with 26 in the backfield, that's a big thing for the New York Football Giants football team. Because without him, he's majority of the offense, and I don't see Daniel Jones being what they paid him to be. And granted, they kind of made a team-friendly deal where he gets a lot of money up front. If he doesn't produce, we can get rid of him and don't take so much of a hit. But, and I know they got Brian Daboll, who came over and kind of revived that roster, but 26 is out there. And that's who was out there that was helping Brian Daboll call off and make it easier, having Daniel Jones have an easier, you know, it's an easier chance of, you know, being productive, not turning the ball over. He was able to get it to Saquon when he needed to. And because at the end of the day, you look at the Giants, they don't have a top-tier receiver. They have a lot of receivers. Like, I just recently found out they have, like, 12 receivers on the roster now, and they just signed Cole Beasley, another guy that's like a slot guy. So they don't really have an outside guy for Daniel Jones. And then you take away your best offensive weapon. Well, you got to take it away, but he might hold out because he wants to get the long-term deal. And that's what's going around the league. Like, now it's running back by committee, man. It's whoever hot when it comes to running backs. And if you listen to a lot of coaches when they do game plan and they have more than one running back, they literally say, whoever has the hot head, that's what we give it to.
Yeah, no, 100%. But even when you talk about with Daniel Jones having 2-6, I think that's what they're saying. Like, you can replace 2-6. Like, would the next guy be as good as 2-6? No, but first and foremost, if Daniel Jones is worth the money you're paying him, then you probably wouldn't need 2-6. All right. And then second thing about it, 2-6 ain't reliable either. I mean, who's more reliable, 2-6 or Daniel Jones?
Well, this past season, they both were reliable. And I agree with you. Early in his career, Saquon Barkley was not available. That is true. That is definitely true.
And he had this 1 year where he was available, but it was also his contract year.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't. You got to understand whenever you have a management team that's just like, or people that's them cutting that check. They're not falling for that. You know what I'm saying? And then at the end of the day, who's gonna be a giant longer? Saquon Barkley or Daniel Jones? Like Daniel Jones. So you're gonna invest in him. You're gonna invest in him first. Like I said, it's all about the passing game because if you can find everything you said about Saquon Barkley is great. He helped that team out. He's a big reason for their success last year with his offensive production. But if you get a wide receiver that's just as good at playing wide receiver as he is at running back, he would make the offense better. So I think that's just what it is. So that's why you're not gonna. Why would we give you that money? Like, in all honesty, let's save this money because we're looking for the next big wide receiver. And one of them may come up on free agency or whatever the case may be, and we don't want to be locked into this Saquon contract because getting a wide receiver is gonna be more important than us to have this running back that we drafted. And of course, he drafted early. He drafted in the first round, but he was that good enough to get drafted in the first round. But, you know, I think that's also the reason why you don't see running backs getting drafted that high anymore, because even when they are good enough to get drafted that high, it's like,
You're not going to go long. Even you said a good running back, if they go to college 3-4 years, that's tread on their tires already at running back. And then they come in maybe 22, 23. Four or five years, that's it. That's their first contract, and they're almost 30. And definitely it's going to be a decline from that age on down.
No, 100%, man, 100%. And,
so, but I think – oh, go ahead.
You know what you said? I'll talk after you.
Okay. Well, I was just saying because with Daniel Jones, we know he's not an elite quarterback. He's maybe, average at best. But – you need, like, and with quarterback, it's all about how many weapons and weapons that they have. If they don't have any weapons, they're not going to be productive. And we know the Giants need wide receivers. Like you said, they may be waiting out for the next big wide receiver, but Saquon wasn't asking for new market money. He was really just asking for a pretty compensation fair. Like I said, he was basing it off what he brings, the value he brings to the team. And I get what you're saying when you're saying the organization, because it is a new regime, new management and everything like that. So they didn't draft Saquon Barkley. So you're right. All they're looking at is he was injured early. We don't know if he's going to be healthy this year. He plays running back, a position that definitely decreases fair at a fast rate.
Yeah.
But this is majority of your offense. Like, this is the guy that helps your offense go. And, you know, I wouldn't want to make him disgruntled or even have him think about not coming into camp and get ready for the season. Because, like, it's going to hurt your team detrimental. So why not just give them – I've seen maybe like $1 to $1.5 million of money they were talking about giving, $3 million. So it's just – it wasn't like an astronomical number. It was just – I think, like you said, the management literally looked at it and was like, hey, yeah, you've been injured. You're not always there. We don't want to take that chance. That's why we didn't give you the money, which is fair.
Bro, like Melvin Gordon just signed some famous for $3.1 million, bro. Like, I ain't even trying to cap, bro, but I know regular professionals that make that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they made that great, but like, and it's a lot of money, but like, I know, and I, of course, you wouldn't consider average Joe as, you know, a millionaire, but like, I know people that have been in their careers for 10, 15 years, and that's what they make. Yeah. And you just think about a running back that works for the NFL. That, and the thing about it is, and this is what I was going to say, and the reason why this is more of a conversation is because, you know, we've seen this before with the fullback position. There was another position in the backfield that took that, you know, that had the that decline, right?
Yeah.
But the fullback position was never like a glamorous position. It was never like you can actually tell the history of the NFL without the fullback.
Yeah.
You can't tell the history of the NFL without the halfback, without the running back, without the tailback. You can't do that. These were some of the most awarded and most decorated players in the sport of football. And now you're getting it to where it's completely the opposite. And like, bro, like you got to think of like, bro, college football today is still like, in the sense of like, it's all about the quarterback, but like just that old college football we was growing up on, it was like, well, they got a beast of a running back. So we know they got a shot this year. Right. Like, it don't even exist anymore. Like the passing game has completely took over football, not just NFL, but just football because even high school football, these quarterbacks are more elite now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, when I was in high school, I remember when I first played football in high school, first training camp, first two a day. They, you know, you ever seen the portion of drum line where he's going through all the different instruments? He's like, the tuba section is in. And he's like, goes to the progression. He's like, he's clapping. He's like, you know, the heartbeat of the, man, I remember. I went to Westbrook, right? And I remember Westbrook High School, 5A High School in Beaumont, Texas, Southeast Texas, you know, a big football town. And I remember he was talking about different positions and he got to the running backs. He was like, the running backs, you guys are going to be ones that sell the tickets. You guys are the reason that these fans and these parents have these season tickets and they come to every game.
Because
you guys are electrifying. You guys are the athletes. You guys are the ones that are going to attract the people. And when you think about it, it's like that don't even exist anymore, man. It's like when you think about Saquon Barkley declining $11 million contract, bro. Like, I ain't even trying to count. That's crazy. And then, who do you think is the highest paid running back in the league is?
Right now it might be what, Alvin Kamara?
Nope.
Oh, Christian Stafford?
Nope.
Then who you got? Who is it?
Let me see. I just want to make sure I'm correct on this.
Yeah, one of these. I was one of those two guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm 100% right.
Well, who is it?
It's Bijan Robinson.
Bijan Robinson? What do you mean? He might be the highest paid rookie.
No, he's the highest paid running back. It's Bijan Robinson at $13 million. It's Christian McCaffrey at $12 million. It's Alvin Kamara at $11 million. It's Aaron Jones at $10 million. And it's Nick Chubb at $10 million. Derrick Henry cap hit is higher, but Derrick Henry is on the back end of his contract, so he got all his money. It's Bijan Robinson.
You sure it's Bijan Robinson?
Bro,
he just got a lead.
Bro, it's Google. You got Google right there. It's Bijan Robinson.
No, he said his average salary is 5.4589. He got $12 million signing.
He has the most money remaining on his contract, bro.
Oh, yeah, he just got his contract. Yeah, he just got his contract.
Look. I wish I could share it to you. I'm telling you, it's Bijan Robinson. Let me see.
Well, no, you know, he just got his contract. That's why. But I'm going to say, I know per year, it's, I want to say it's either Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara.
That's it. Let me see. I read this, and I just read it on Sports on Spot Rack that the total cash is him.
Yeah, because he just signed his deal. Like, I'm talking about when I say, when I want to do like for that, I'm going to do like per year. Like, yeah, he just got his contract. So
okay, this is what it is. I'm gonna give you exactly what it is. When I said he's the highest paid running back, I was false. But this is what it is. Bijan Robinson, a rookie, will make the most money this year, $13.72 million, among all other running backs. With Christian McCaffrey, $12 million, fairly distant second. He's gonna be the highest paid running back next year.
Yeah, that's good because he's getting all his signing bonus up front, plus his base salary. That's what I was going off like the
bro, base that's salary. Still crazy because there's no that's still insane, bro.
Well, let me say because I know per year, that's just how that's how it goes. Like once because they got the he's getting all his.
Who you think is the highest paid quarterback of next year? It's not going to be a rookie. Who you think is the highest paid wide receiver next year? It's not going to be a rookie. The highest paid defensive tackle, it's not going to be a rookie. The highest paid linebacker, it's not going to be a rookie. But the highest paid running back, it's a rookie. That's not normal, bro.
The reason I say that is because he's not the highest paid running back. He's just you're adding his bonuses in. I'm talking about his base salary.
I'm reading what the article says. It says he is the highest paid running back. It's NBC New York, bro.
Because they're adding his bonus, his signing bonus,
bro.
That's why.
Listen, bro. If my man, who is this? If Logan Ritterson published this on June 13, 2013, to basically talk about how the running back position, as far as the money, the name of it is, here are the highest paid NFL running backs amid Saquon Barkley's contract dispute. If he works for NBC New York and he did his research and came up with the conclusion that Bijan Robinson is the highest paid running back this year, bro, I'm going off what he said. I'm gonna say that NBC New York ain't about to sit here and tell us no fibs, bro.
No, because I'm telling you, he's adding his signing bonus. He's adding his signing bonus because based off salary per year, Christian McCaffrey's at $16 million, Alvin Kamara's at $15 million, Dalvin Cook was at 12 point. It would have been at 12.6, but he got cut. It would have been $15 million. You're going off about what he got in sign. He got all his signing bonus up front.
No, I'm not, bro. I'm going off of what it says. It says here's the highest paid running backs for 2013 in terms of total cash. It's Bijan Robinson.
Total cash. That's what I'm saying. That's total cash is his signing bonus added on to his salary.
I don't care about his signing bonus. I'm talking about in total cash is Bijan.
No, his average salary. You got to go by average salary.
Off of what he's getting this year, direct deposit from the NFL. He's gonna make more money than any other running back.
No, that's what I'm going about. He's not. I'm telling you, he's not.
Bro, Evan, how do you disagree with a whole article that's
been because I'm telling you how did you go average salary. What that article is saying, what he's researched is literally his signing bonuses, all his bonuses. Average salary per year, Christian McCaffrey's at $16 million. That is just his base salary.
Bro, listen.
That's his base salary. His base salary.
I got you. I heard what you said, bro. It says, who are the highest paid running backs in the NFL in 2013?
NFL highest paid running back in 2023, average salary per year. Christian McCaffrey.
It says a rookie running back will actually receive the most cash of any player at the position in 2013. The Atlanta Falcons drafted Bijan Robinson at number 8 overall in April, immediately making him the highest paid running back for this season at $13,719,844. The Texas product doesn't have the biggest running back contract, and he won't hold his title after this rookie year. But for now, the crown is his. What is wrong with that?
Because Christian, you just said $13 million. Christian McCaffrey is making $60 million base salary.
No, he's not. He's making $12 million this year. What are you talking about? No,
Christian McCaffrey's base salary is $16 million.
No, you don't know how to read the contracts, bro.
Contracts. It's $16 million.
That's argument, bro. I'm telling you, you don't know how to read the contracts. Let's see, Christian McCaffrey. I know how to read the contracts, bro.
Go ahead.
Let's see, Christian McCaffrey right here. And we are in 2023, and his yearly cash is $12 million. Where are you? It says $12 million.
That's his base salary. That's his game check. His
cash is literally exactly at $12 million. Not a decimal in sight. It's $12 million. It's nothing but commas. He's getting $12 million this year. Bijan Robinson, yes, because he has a
you can hear me, right?
Yeah.
I can see you talking. All right, Bijan Robinson, who of course Bijan Robinson, of course, who has a rookie contract, who's getting his signing bonus up front, Yes, that's true, but that's the reason why he's making more money than any other running back this year because of his signing bonus. He's making out of football more money than any other running back, bro.
No, I want you. I'm looking at Christian McCaffrey's contract right now. His current contract, 4 years, $64 million. Signing bonus was 21.5. Average salary, $16
million. Yes.
Total guarantees, $38 million. Guarantees at signing, $30
million. Yes.
He's making his average salary. That's how you have to do it. His average salary for the year.
No, that's not how you look at it, bro. What are you talking about?
Okay,
man. Evan, I know you're smarter than this, bro.
I know I'm smarter than that.
Listen, if they're telling you you get 64 and 4 million, are you going to get the average salary every year? No.
Yes,
no, they don't, bro. Hold on. Time out. Because I know you know sports well enough to know there's a front end of the contract, there's a back end of the contract. Sometimes the front end is more heavier than the back end. So that means that the average, he's not getting the average. They're not paying him 16 million every year. His first year, they paid him 22. This is his rookie year. I'm sorry. So they're doing 20,000. He did get just traded. He got traded. All right. So look, if you go to 2020, he made 22 million. You go to 2021, he made 8 million. You go to 2022, right? He made 690,000. He got his contract. He made 12 million. He's making 12 million the next 3 years.
No, bro. Like I said, you're not getting it. That's his base salary. That is his check. Like I said, if you go to Bijan Robinson, he's going to have a base salary. That's his game checks. That's about it. He's getting signing bonus, workout bonuses, restructure, everything, all of that, that still goes to him. Like the average base salary of his contract, you got to do average. 64 divided by 4 is what?
It's 16, but he's not getting the average every year, bro. You know that.
That's how you determine who makes the most money. That's how you determine that.
I know everybody listening to this. Bro, Evan, you just like literally wrong. Everybody knows that if someone gives you a contract in the NFL, it's not going to be the same amount every year.
Well, I know it's not the same amount every year. They do it on average.
No,
they don't. That's the average. If you look at it, you can go look at it. It's going to say AAV. It's going to say AAV. Average salary. That's an average value. I'm not wrong. You're wrong, but okay. Like I'm telling you, what they're doing with Westcott, with Bijan, the article that you're reading is literally because his contract is probably fully guaranteed. So he's going to get a lot of his money up front, and he's going to make the most money. He's going to make money that way. But if you're talking about average salary, that's how you determine who has the highest paid salary. You go by what they make averagely every year.
That's not what I'm talking about. If I'm telling you, so let me ask you this. If I'm talking about one particular year, why would I care about what he's averaging out?
Because you can't take what he makes 1 year. You have to do the whole entire contract. That's why they put it average. That's why they average it out.
So hold on. To figure out what somebody makes in 1 year, you just can't consider that 1 year.
No, we're not talking. You don't. That's what I said. You don't do it by 1 year. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. In one year, he's going to make the most money. But you got to do the average of the contract.
It's hilarious, bro.
It's not hilarious. That's how it's done. Like even on Sports Track, it literally says average salary $16 million.
You reading that stat off? Like yes, that's a stat that they take what your full contract is and they divide it by however many years it is and they tell you what the average is.
That's how you determine who makes the most money.
No, that's not. That's not even what I'm saying. I'm not even saying.
But that's what I'm saying. What you're saying is you're going off on 1 year.
Context. I never said he makes the most money. I said that he's going to make more money in 2013 than any other running back. That's not who makes the most money.
I don't believe he will.
Bro, well, how do you believe, how you don't believe he will if there's, hold up, bro. I'm glad I could do that.
That's fine. Hey, like, I get what you're saying. You're trying to say this year, 2023, he's going to make the most money based off his contract because he's getting a lot of his guaranteed money up front, which is correct. I'm not denying that. But when you do who's the highest paid at each position, it's not done like that. It's done by the length, the amount of money you get in the contract and the years is divided by. That's how you get who makes the most money. I get what you're saying. I get 100% what you're saying. Like, say his contract is 20 million.
Look, we got the screen right here. Everybody see it, right? You see it?
We got it. Come on, we got it right there.
You see it? Look, it says Christian McCaffrey. It says 2013. You see right here? 2013. If you go down here, yearly cap, he's going to make this year, it says $12 million.
Did you forget the workout bonus?
The whole time, it's the average. In 2020, he made 22. In 2021, he made 8. Right? In 2022, obviously, I'm sure he's on some contract negotiations. He made $690,000. In 2023, he's making 12. In 2024, he's making 12. And in 2025, he's making $12,000,200.
Go
right here.
Go and scroll
up. Bijan Robinson.
Go and scroll up.
Here's the highest paid running backs in 2023 in terms of cash. Bijan Robinson. How much? $13,072,000. If you go right here, back to spot rack. I just want to make sure that.
Even if you scroll up, what does that say right there? Average salary. Average salary, right? Then I want you to scroll back down to when you say 12 million. No, go to yearly cash. Go down to yearly cash.
I just want to make sure I show people what I'm saying.
I know. I'm on the same thing. Go down to yearly. When you go down to yearly cash, and then if you scroll over,
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
You look at workout bonus, that's the best cash he gets. Do you also get the restructure?
What'd you say?
I get what you're saying. Like, I agree. I get what you're saying. You're literally basing off what he's getting in 1 year. But when you look at the highest paid by each position, they're going to give you the average of the contract. They're not going to break it down. Because in contract, you can break it down where Aaron Rodgers redid his contract where technically this year he's making $108 million. Deshaun Watson, another one. Deshaun Watson got his contract, $230 divided. They restructured it. So this year he's only making $19 million. In the next 3 years, he's going to make $64 million. You can work out that, and that's what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, his contract, which you base on the average, is the highest paid quarterback. Highest paid quarterback salary. Like even with Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts literally got his contract. He got what 157, like 2 million less than Kyler Murray. But Jalen Hurts is still not the highest paid quarterback. Cause like I said, I get what you're saying. Like you can break all that down because after he may not get it this year. They might restructure his deal to where they put all on the backside. Like all of that changes. That's what I'm saying. You can't say 1 year because when you do 1 year, money gets moved all the time. So they don't have to pay that. They're paying on the back end or they restructure it so that maybe can sign someone else. So that's why you can't say in 1 year this year. They might reconstructure that deal at the end of the season. He may have incentives that he didn't reach. He won't get that. Like that's how that contract goes. That's why you go whatever they make divided by the years. That's the average. That's how you determine who's the highest paid at each position. Like, I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying. But that's not how that's determined, who makes the most.
All right, bro. Hey, you been watching boxing lately, bro? You ready for this mega show?
I wasn't done with football, but okay.
No, I'm okay like, with you. I don't know. I feel like, bro,
you're going to have to – learn how to read. I get what you're saying. You gotta learn how to read how it goes, who makes the highest pay. Like that's exactly why Dalvin Cook got cut, because Dalvin Cook's contract could have got to $15 million. Like it says 12.4, but he has incentives. If he hits those incentives, now it's come to $15 million. That's why they cut him, because they didn't want to pay that. That's what I'm saying. Money gets moved all the time. Like that article is
fully guaranteed, bro.
Huh?
His contract is fully guaranteed.
Yeah, it is. It is fully guaranteed, but they also can alter it where he doesn't get it year one. He can get a year two. He can get a year three. It's fully guaranteed. It's his money. Whatever he gets, he gets. That doesn't change. But it can change when he receives it. And I get what you're saying. You're saying in 2023, he's going to receive all that money. And he might not receive all that money because budgets change throughout the year in football. Like that happens all the time. That's not nothing new in the NFL. Like that's when you see this guy reconstructed his deal to be making signing bonus and to make it that's where all those numbers change. Because they can be like, okay, well, you did this, but hey, let's reconstruct it so we can maybe possibly pay this guy, move that money you earned in year one back to year two, and you didn't get it. And so he didn't get that full money. That's why you do it by the number that he gets. Divided by the year, and that's how you do the average, and that's how you determine who's the highest paid. But I get what you were saying. I get what you were saying. Exactly. Because I also want to switch this conversation of running backs to Josh Jacobs, who led the AFC, okay. I know for sure, in rushing. And he didn't get paid as well either. And Austin Eckler is another one who requested a trade, but he also wants to get paid.
I see why they don't get paid though. Cause like, what's the Raiders? Raiders are pretty much rebuilding, right? And then, I mean, with Austin Eckler and I don't know what's up with the Chargers. I'm one of those people that I see Justin Herbert as a good player, but he hasn't really impressed me too much. So I'm not even sure what Eckler is asking for, but I see why they're not paying Josh Jacobs, man. They're rebuilding. Why spend money on a running back when they can spend money other ways to get better? It actually affects them. But he did. He had a great year last year. I won our fantasy league because of him. So I definitely want to give him a shout out.
Yeah, but they had a quarterback, but that quarterback got mad, but then they got another one. But they still have probably the top three, top five receiver in the league. They still have they have Josh Jacobs.
Who's the top five?
Receiver.
Oh,
Devontae Adams. Like, they still have probably a top five receiver in the league. If he's not number three, I'd say top three, but you know, it's basically top five. So
a quarterback though.
Yeah, they don't have a solid, but they had one, but they made him back because they just paid him. They had just paid him as well.
Bro, they're just not paying these running backs, bro. Like,
they're not paying.
I think Eckler will be great for Justin Herbert. Like, he's still young. I still think he's developing. I'm not really sold on him yet as a winner. I think he's definitely a talent, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but they don't want to pay these guys, bro. I think they don't want to pay them because, like I said, I think you can get. Even with me and the Steelers, bro, Jalen Warren's gonna have a breakout year this year. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And he's a running back. And then you're gonna see how it's like, they can go between Najee and Jalen Warren, right? Yeah. So it's one of those things, bro, where it's just like, that's just a position. That's just
exactly.
I think the tight end position is more important than the running back. The tight ends are these guys' safety nets. Per Freiermuth, Travis Kelce, George Kittle. Even my guy over in
Baltimore, Mark Andrews,
okay. Like, bro, like when you just think about these tight ends, bro, these tight ends are more valuable than running backs, too. Like, how many running backs do we got in the league right now that's Hall of Famers? I got two in Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't see Derrick Henry still, to me, has to do a little bit more to be a Hall of Famer.
Derrick Henry's Hall of Famer, 2000. He definitely was going to be solidified as a first ballot if he would have got that back-to-back 2,000-yard season. But 2,000-yard season, league MVP as a running back, face of the Titans franchise in an era where the face of the franchise is a quarterback, he's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. I think Zeke's going to be a Hall of Famer just because of that year he had. And then, of course, he never really fell off, like, horribly bad. Like, even when we talk about what he's doing now, he's not, like, a bad running back. He's not, like, a great running back anymore. He's a great blocking running back, and he played for one of the premier teams of the league. He'll get in eventually. You know, Jerry Jones gonna pull some plugs. I mean, Jerry Jones still here. You never know, but you know, Jerry Jones gonna try to do some plugs. But I feel like even an argument, you have two arguments with those two. But other than that, there's not one other Kamara. Kamara don't look like he's gonna do enough to be a Hall of Famer. Shit, who else?
Derrick Henry and Ezekiel are both having some more work to do before they can get into Hall of Fame. They don't even have 10,000 rushing yards, and we got to make sure Derrick Henry can get to 10,000 rushing yards for sure. I think Derrick Henry is probably closest, but I don't see him as a Hall. He still has maybe two or three more great seasons that he's had for him to get to that Hall of Fame level.
Even if he's like 75% himself for like the next two seasons, he'll get in the Hall of Fame. It's not like he's not playing anymore football. It's not like Zeke is like done playing football.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the Hall of Fame is big on numbers. So if you don't have the numbers, you're not going to get the nod.
I don't think that. I think that's what Ian was talking about. There's a lot of dogs. Eli Manning going to get an Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but Eli Manning also has the numbers.
What numbers?
Eli Manning is top 10 all-time in passing. I want to say top 10 in all-time in touchdowns. Top 10 in all time and wins as quarterback. Like, he's, and he has two Super Bowls on top of that.
off of longevity, he did creep up there. But Derrick Henry and Zeke Elliott can do the same thing.
That's what I'm saying. They still have some things to do.
Yeah, like, we saying the same thing. I think you're just more doubtful. And me, I'm just like, all right, I'm pretty sure they'll get it. But
I feel fair enough.
But other than that, there is no other, and those guys are on their way out. Like those guys, both of those guys, I know for a fact, those guys don't got 5 years in them.
You say they don't have 5 years in them?
You see Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott playing 5 more years?
If they play 5 more years, they're gonna have to be productive at least 3 of those 5 years to get in the Hall of Fame.
You see them playing 5 more years?
Yeah, I see Derrick Henry maybe playing 5 more years and Ezekiel Elliott, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. They can play 5 more years. I don't think because the last 2 years, really the last 3 years, mm-hmm. always like Julio Jones, right? Like what was Julio Jones' last 3 years really been?
No, they've been terrible.
Right. Like when you think about it, right? But let's see, he's still a wide receiver. I mean, you know, he's on a team right now, actually.
Nah, he's a free agent.
So Julio Jones drafted in 2011, and number of games played was 10, 10, and 9.
Yeah, now he's had over the last 3 years, but he's also has 13,000 receiving yards.
771 yards in 2020, 434 yards in 2021, and 299 yards in 2022. I seen that man make 222 yards, but I feel like he did that in like a game.
He had a 300-yard game. He had a 300-yard game.
Yeah, he had a 300-yard game. Yeah, against the Giants, I think, right?
I don't remember who. Yeah. I know he had a 300-yard. I know he had 300-yard.
I don't know. But, yeah, like, I've seen him do that. He played 10 games, right? So, like, mm-hmm. when he left the Atlanta Falcons, and I mean, you can pretty much say 2020 was off your film too. So even he could possibly put up 2 more trash years, but he ain't on the team right now. So we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
He could be out right now. You know what I'm saying? That's tough. I mean, it's not tough, but yeah, 5 years. I wonder if they can do it. 5 years ain't as easy as I'm making it seem though.
Well, I think Derrick Henry and Zeke can play 5 years. I don't think Julio's gonna play 5 years. He's only gonna give you 1 more year if he gets on the team.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Julio. I'm talking about running back.
I think they can play 5 more years. But for them to be a Hall of Fame, they have to be productive at least 3 of those 5 years.
How much you think Julio Jones made his career?
Quite a bit. I want to say close to.
What's quite a bit to you?
Maybe about, I'd say contract wise, maybe about 80 million off contracts alone. Maybe
80. Oh, when I tell you this number, you're gonna be surprised.
Yeah, what's that?
148.
See, yeah, that's about right. I just seen Adrian Peterson made 103.
When did he get these contracts?
He got all these contracts when he was like,
he got paid $10 million, which remember they get a signing bonus. So that's safety rod Bijan Robinson is the highest paid running back. He got
because his first year he made what $16 million.
I got it. He got $10 million, he got $1 million, $1 million, $2 million. Then in 2015, when he got his new contract, he got 25, he got 22 million. Then he got 13, 11, 13. Then he got another contract in 2019. Oh, he did get some contracts. He got 26 million, 22 million, 15 million. And then last year in 2022, he got 2 million. And then he was with the Buccaneers. With the Buccaneers, he made 5 million. Oh yeah, so that's him clocked out. Like he don't have another contract, so
I'm saying like his rookie contract was for 16.1, then he got 71 when he got the new deal with the Falcons, then he got another 66 million from the Falcons, then he got 6 from Tampa Bay. So like all he got, I can see him career earnings. I can see him getting that type of money. Yeah, career earnings. It looks like he's at 148 million. He got 125 million from the Falcons, 17 from. What's called 5.4 for the Bucks? Because he signed a 6 million. So yeah, he got a $60 million
contract, and he got a $66 million contract.
I guess he didn't hit his incentives in Tampa Bay, so that's why it went down to 5.4 million. But he signed with a $6 million deal. So yeah, that's
you're not even supposed to count them incentives. I don't even I mean, they.
Well, that's part. That's all. I can't get. That's all part of their career. They earned that in the league. So that's what made his contract higher.
How much did Derrick Henry make his whole career?
Derrick Henry is probably, I'll say about close to 100 million.
You definitely wrong on this one. I'm looking at it right now, but I already know. I already looked this up. I already know you're wrong because I was surprised at the number. Huh? You definitely wrong. You said, what, 100?
Yeah, I said close to 100. Yeah, what do you get?
45.
Man, it's still not that's bad.
Bro, what? Bro,
that's still not bad. That's not bad.
No, that's of course, in the person, that's not bad. But, bro, that's that's 50, that's more than 50% off of what you thought he was going to make. I thought he would be making more than that, too. But him making 55, him making 45 million, bro, and then listen to this. This was a joke on Twitter. Somebody said Duncan Robinson when he sees a when he sees an NFL running back on the street, and they did like a little Chappelle skit where they got the reparations money, and she like with your broke ass. Duncan Robinson, who has not played as long as who's not been active as long as Derrick Henry, who's definitely not as important to his team as Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry started in what 2016. He started in 2018. Duncan Robinson, with his contract expiring in 2026, is going to be at 93 million. That's
crazy. By the end of, at the end of this year, Derrick Henry will be at what 56 million career earnings.
That's good for the average person. Yeah, I mean that's like what Kwame Brown made more money than Derrick Henry. Think about that shit.
Yeah, he played in a different sport, played basketball.
That's crazy though, because Derrick Henry was more like all day sport.
Played more games, plays more games.
What you think? Watch this. What do you think Ben Roethlisberger made?
His probably close to 150, 150 million. Like he's a quarterback.
And he played earlier. You know, and Steelers ain't giving no big contract. Like, you know, and Steelers contract. Be 30 pages, 29 on being census. You know what I'm saying? 29 on being census. And my man made, Jesus Christ. What number you thought he made?
Maybe like 150?
He made 267, bro. Okay. Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm shocked by these numbers, bro. Cause you like this thing though, they getting like double what you thinking they make, bro. These some rich ass dudes, bro.
Yeah, that's the quarterback position is a prime position.
Everybody know LeBron that. Like,
yeah, he's a billionaire. He's a billionaire.
Yeah, not talking about his basketball earnings. You know what his number is?
Oh, basketball? What is it like? Is it like over a half a bill?
Yeah, it's slightly over half a million. I know. I look at his all the time. I know it's half a million. Let me get the exact number.
For half a bill. Well, half a billion. Not a half a million. Half a billion.
Yeah, half a billion.
Yeah. But, you know, so we can get into these contracts all night. We're going to move it on. We can pivot it to some boxing. I know you want to get into boxing. I don't want
to. Man, you want to get into boxing too, brother? LeBron is going to be at 5:30. You want to get into some boxing too, bro. You know, it's bro, you know, July 29th, bro, gonna be a holiday, bro. What you doing July 29th?
Yeah, what am I doing July 29th? I'm gonna be in front of hopefully in front of a TV watching the Bud Crawford versus Errol Spence fight.
I'm telling you, you gotta work.
I don't even know. But if not, I'm still gonna be in front of a TV watching.
I know my predictions. I really don't know, actually. I think I'm gonna save my prediction for our next week's show when it's like the day before the fight. What you got? Talk to me about it. How you feeling?
How I'm feeling right now, I think it's gonna go the full distance, but I also think it's gonna be a real tough fight. I'm picking Bud Crawford. I'm gonna go with Crawford. He's gonna be a little rusty in the beginning because he hasn't fought in a while, and I just think he gets the best suspense when it comes to a decision by the card. I think it's gonna be a really, really good fight. I think it's probably gonna be one of the best fights that we've been waiting for. One of the best fights we're going to see this year, and then also one of the ones that we've been waiting for a long time.
Do you think, you say decision, so he doesn't knock him out. Do you think he knocks him down?
No, I don't think so.
I think for Bud to win by decision, he got to knock him down.
Okay.
This is the reason why. Uh-huh. I'm not going to tell you who I think will win, though, right? This is the most 50-50 fight. And you know I'm a big boxing fan, bro. I watched every single one of their fights this week, except for the Ricky Burns fight, except for both of the Mikey Garcia fights, and except for like two early Errol Spence fight. It's going to be a close fight. It's going to be a close fight. The reason why I say Terrence Crawford, if he's going to win, by decision, he has to knock him down maybe once or twice because decisions are all going to be on Errol Spence's side. Errol Spence is an active fighter. He put like this. Errol Spence throws more jabs in a fight than Bud would throw total punches in a fight. So when you talk about decision, activity is what's going to win you a car fight. Yeah. A jab going to win the car fight, right? And then more importantly, Bud, Errol Spence is the A side. And who is he? Yeah. Who's holding this fight? PBC. Who's been fighting with PBC their whole entire career? Errol Spence. Who's first fight on PBC?
Bud.
Who did PBC also just sign and who they're talking about making Errol Spence fight down the road? I think that what people gotta understand is and why Bud can't let it go to the card, it's a bigger play. They trying to get that Errol Spence Canelo fight. Because this is what it is. I think they're gonna do Canelo Charlo, Canelo Errol Spence. And if Canelo got it in him, they'll let him do Canelo Benavidez. That with Bud being the A side and Bud being the B side, I feel like he gotta stop Crawford. He can't stop Crawford. I think he can stop Crawford with an uppercut. He throws uppercuts at awkward angles, and his uppercuts he don't have to wind them up. He can just throw it, and he can just hit you out of nowhere, right? Both of these guys look like beasts at their workout.
Yeah.
Both of these guys are like beasts. I mean, bro, you look at Terrence Crawford workout. The dude has a white t-shirt on, and he's sweating through his white t-shirt, and you see his eight pack. Who in the heck is in that big much of a shape where you can see that eight pack? I'm sorry, I'm not talking about six pack. I'm not talking about a Budweiser six pack. I'm talking about eight. One, two, three, four. Each side through a white tee. Like these dudes are in tip top shape. Mm-hmm. Errol Spence is in tip top shape, and it's gonna be a good match. You basically got, and this is why I think it's crazy. Everybody remember I say this. Errol Spence, if he wins this fight, is because he was right on the money when he said that this is Tim Duncan versus Kevin Garnett. Mm-hmm. Even though Kevin Garnett was the most flashier player, he had a different skill set. He had a higher skill set. He was more talented. Tim Duncan was just bigger and more fundamental. Mm-hmm. And if Errol Spence win that fight, you can bookmark it here. It's because he knew exactly that. He's the Tim Duncan, right? Five championships.
Yeah.
I can get it done easy. I got a good coach, Derek White, in his corner. I got a good team with Mr. Fundamentals. And then you got Kevin Garnett, who's a great at the same time, but only got one championship, right? Yeah. He was the head of his team. You really don't have a Hall of Fame coach, just like Errol Spence has a Hall of Fame coach. He relied more on his skill and athleticism. But Tim Duncan was a slightly younger, but bigger guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't even know Tim Duncan younger than Kevin Garnett, but I know Errol Spence younger than Terrence Crawford. That's what you got coming for you. I think that's gonna be a good fight. To me, I think that either Errol Spence gonna wear him down, dot that eye up, get a late stoppage, or win by decision, or Terrence Crawford gonna have to knock him out to win late round. That's what I got. But I'll tell you who I'm winning when it's a little bit closer to the fight next week, and we got I'm losing my voice, man. I'm sorry. And we got a fight this Tuesday in Japan. Ring Walk is going to be at 8:30 a.m., right? But you got Stephen Fulton and my man. Inoue over in Japan. So we got that one that's going to be pretty good. That's going to be a good fight. And a lot of people feel like the guy in Japan is actually the greater fighter. As far as like he's one of the best fighters in boxing. Like some people say that he's either the best fighter in boxing or it's Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence. That's the best fighter in boxing. But we got two big fights this week. I can't wait to see it. Saturday. Hey, I already told everybody I'm working in the morning. I'm taking me a nap by 3:00. I'm waking up at 6:00 and we getting the party started.
Oh yeah, I'll be fine. I'm not working. I'll be off.
It's July 29th. You know what I'm saying, man? My shot. We're gonna be on that Patron. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be lit, bro. We got the 65-inch Sony, and we're gonna be watching, you know, one of the greatest fights. And one thing I tell everybody else, and somebody I watched the podcast and they said this, and I thought this is a great thing to say, especially in a fight like this. Everybody got who they want to win. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those fights where it's such a great fight. If your guy lose, still enjoy the fight. Enjoy the moment. Whether you got winning or losing, don't let that ruin you from enjoying one of the best fights, one of the best boxing matches of all time, in all honesty. Not the best, but it should definitely be one of the best boxing matches of all time. So
most definitely.
It's going to be good, man. Get your popcorn ready. Get your barbecue ready. I made chicken wings. I don't know what I'm going to have on the menu that night. I know we're going to have some liquor on the menu that night, but I don't know if I'm going to do chicken wings. I don't know if I'm going to do burgers. I don't know if I'm going to do tacos. Ain't no Mexican fighter, so I ain't gonna do tacos because I always do tacos when my essays fight, my brothers fight. So I don't know. It's two brothers. I may just do some chicken wings.
Chicken wings. Hey, you might want to get on that pit, man. Get you some ribs.
Huh?
You can get on that pit, get you some wings. I mean, get you some ribs, man. Yeah,
man, I tell you, I need to take a nap. I don't know if I do ribs, I ain't got time for a nap. You know what I'm saying?
Mike can slow cook them. You can take a little nap and come back to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, but shit, I want to see the end of the fight too. Real sad, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
It's gonna be an amazing fight, man. You know, I'm gonna be locked and loaded. I'm gonna have my scorecard on my phone. I got my Apple, I can do my scorecard.
Yeah,
I'm there, man.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna definitely be one of the ones. I think it's gonna be one of the ones that you gonna look back and be like, man, that was a fight that you gonna remember, and it's gonna be a good one. Anything else you want to cover, man? I know boxing, sports world's kind of, you know, slow right now, but you know, we're gonna
figure it out. Slow, man. We still got like 1 hour and 15 minutes, man. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. So like I said, if you got anything, let them know where they can find you at, Kobe, man. You know what I'm saying? So they can get with you. Maybe they, you know what I'm saying, get you a cold one for the fight.
Yeah, find me on Instagram at the Kobe thacoby, man. Also, if you're big into investments. I'm not trying to scam you or nothing like that, but if you want to make sure your family's protected with some investments, hit me up as well on Instagram at thacoby. I can tell you how everything works. And other than that, man, yeah, you can catch me on Instagram, man. Everybody stay blessed. I'll tell y'all more about my other endeavors that I have. I'm going to actually start bringing my more professional life into the actual podcast, just so we can, you know, grow as an audience and grow as a family, all right?
Yes, sir. Where you find me is, I'm Phil. You find me at Instagram, Twitter, Young and Educated. Also, follow the show's page, Filling Stats, PHILN Stats, STATZ. Make sure y'all do that. We are on YouTube. Make sure you follow the YouTube page as well. Make sure you tell your mamas, your daddies, your cousins, your aunties, your uncles, anybody you get this video and this stream from, share it, like it, let us know, give us feedback so we can talk. Like I said, this is another episode of Filling Stats. We appreciate y'all. Y'all be easy.
Yeah.